What are some of the trends you see at the moment? Like, do people still bring pictures in? Is that a thing? Do
what are top
your
three?
Picture.
Are you gassing me up? There is no debate. Protect your skin.
Absolutely. The most backed up thing in anti-aging skincare is SPF and...
When should you start Botox or preventative injectables? Dr. Selena, welcome to So Wrong, It's Right.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. So excited to be here.
Now, if you follow me on Instagram, and I'm sure most of you who listen or watch do, you've probably seen Dr. Selena on my profile or on my shows. But when did we meet? God, a while ago now.
5 years.
5 years ago, I moved up north and I was looking, I mean, I don't know who was injecting me in London, looking back on it now. I thought I had someone decent, but I didn't. And I was asking around, who can I trust up here? And it was one of the girls from Blackburn. She was like, Dr. Selena is the fucking bomb. Yeah. So I went up, had a little consultation, went in, you were like, those lips have got to go. I was like, no. So what do? We did a few tweaks, didn't we? Dissolved the lips. And you're like, come back and see me in 3 weeks.
We need to get rid of it. You were like, do you remember did you blow up? Was it you?
Yes. On the way home, I had to go.
You're like, I'm having an anaphylactic reaction. I was like,
Some people swell with dissolver. And I am one of those people. My lips, it kind of happened slowly, but then really quickly. So I was in the car and I just looked in the mirror. And like, you know, from Hitch, when Will Smith, he gets that shellfish reaction. They just want this. So Selena Messrich goes, just pull into Boots and get some Piriton or something. I get to the counter and I was like trying to cover my mouth. The girl was like, I can't understand what you're saying. So I pulled my hand. She goes, oh, I was like, I'm having a bit of a reaction to something. Can I get some Piriton?
I'm surprised you trusted me after that.
I know. Tell us about you then, Sal. How did you get into the aesthetics? Because I know you were you going to just be a general doctor at first?
Yeah, no. Well, I was. So I obviously started in the NHS. I qualified as a GP. I actually did dermatology training as well. Did 6 months dermatology in the hospitals. And then I did a separate qualification in dermatology. I think because I had bad skin as a teenager, I was that typical spotty, oily skin.
I know. Spots. It's mad, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I shouldn't know. the amount of shit I've been through. So, and I think that's really what sparked my interest. And then I did the dermatology placement in hospitals, and actually, I came out and I was like, "Yeah, I'm not sure I want to do this in hospitals." And then at the same time, we'd opened up a clinic in Leeds. Our first clinic in Leeds is now 15 years old.
Wow.
I know. And essentially, something had to give. And, you know, the private side of things was getting busier. And I ended up, after my daughter was born, leaving the NHS. So I went full-time cosmetic dermatology.
But obviously, from doing the docs and obviously knowing you for so long, the aesthetics industry in the UK is Wild West. Anyone can have a go.
Yep.
And like you say, unfortunately, when anyone can have a go and do it in their back garden and charge, you know, 50 quid for a set of lips, especially what I found the documentaries, younger, not just girls, but girls and boys, are obviously lured in by that. How does it kind of make you feel to work in this country knowing that people are offering these services with no medical training whatsoever?
It is crazy. And I think I was really naive when I went into it, thinking, oh, it's only doctors or it's only senior doctors that are doing this type of thing. And then when I realised, actually, it's not. It was really just kind of like, wow, is that what we've come to? Like, is this what the UK is? And unfortunately, we are one of the only countries that allows that to happen. Yeah. Like, you only have to go to Spain and they don't even allow nurses to inject and they're perfectly qualified medics. So
America? You have to be basically a surgeon.
Yeah, and I think that, again, varies state by state. But, essentially, and some countries won't even allow dentists. No. So, you know, forget that. Forget a medical qualification. You can be anyone. You can be the dustbinman and go on a 5 day course, 2 day course, 1 day course, and decide to call yourself an esthetician.
And, you know, what I would say, and that is what people listening to this, it's like the risk is to me not it having it done, because you can get lucky. It's like you said, when something goes wrong, that's when you're up shit creek without a paddle. When your practitioner then is like, oh, I can't prescribe dissolver. I don't have it. I don't know how to use it.
Yeah.
Then what?
That's the thing is, obviously, if they're not prescribing, it means they're getting it from somewhere. Yeah. So it's likely an illegal product. Or, you know, they're paying someone to get it.
Yeah.
Something's happening. But, I guess there's two sides to the coin, isn't there? Like, there is I guess, thousands of non-medical practitioners who are injecting on a daily basis without issues.
Yeah.
And I think the issue is that they don't know what they don't know.
Yes.
Right? So we, as medics, go into this profession of we know too much. Mm. We know exactly what can go wrong in every kind of little scenario. And even then, we probably don't know everything. And these guys, I think it's that, it's the lack of knowledge that gives you confidence almost.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, well.
But ignorance is bliss.
It is. And you're you know, you've been on a course. And, oh, well, the lady told me that if it blocks, you just dissolve and you'll be fine. And it's that mentality that is basically allowing this
big
industry
to
carry on. But, I mean, we don't even know, you know, the numbers really. Like, there's so many numbers that we will be. There'll be blockages, there'll be infections, there'll be blindness, which is your worst case scenario, strokes even from filler placement. And there might be numbers that we don't even know about because they're not reported, or they're hush-hush, or they're just, you know, sent away. But obviously then there'll be a number that we do know about. That's and that's scary. Not to say medics don't get the same complications we do, but generally speaking, we manage them, and we know what we're doing to help avoid that risk as well.
Yeah. Like you said, Skin Doctor Leeds has been 15 years.
15 years, yeah.
And you're in Manchester and now in London.
Yeah, we've got four. We've
and
in
York.
Don't forget my York one, my little baby.
I always forget about York. It's the only one I've not been to, that's why.
Yeah.
With that comes a huge client base. But I'm in the reception, I hear the phone going, and such, like, yeah, she's funny, but. What's it like managing that kind of demand?
It's tough. And I think... obviously, I'm in a fortunate position where I started early on in this industry, I guess. I do have a good reputation, thankfully. And I guess I attract a certain type of clientele who don't want to look exaggerated.
Would you say the trend is leaning back towards a more natural look?
I think so. I think...
I feel like people want to look perfect. Well, that's what I would like. You want to look perfect, but it's like... Well, no one looks like that without help, but it's not, you can't work out what they've done.
That's exactly it. It should be, for me, I always say it's like restoration.
Yeah.
It's kind of like improving you to how you, not should look, that sounds awful, but yeah. Like
but working with your natural anatomy.
Yeah, your natural anatomy, your natural imperfections, which sometimes are actually better left untreated, but then in certain cases to balance the face, for example. And I think that's what it should be. It should be more restorative or in some cases beautifying.
Yeah.
So if someone has a really great nose and a really good chin, but then they have a weak lip, to balance that proportion, you're then going to enhance the lip to improve that. And it should be a nice subtle thing to like they've always had it. Like that is just what they were born with and how the proportions should have been. And I guess, and the natural look is back in. I think we've done a full 360.
Yeah.
We all went mad with fillers, you know, it was a new thing. It became more accessible. It became easier to buy. It was cheaper. There was a practitioner for everyone. So if you wanted low budget, you had someone. If you wanted high budget, you had someone. So I think the market just went mad and people just, you know, more is more. That was basically the message.
I first had my boobs done and my lips, I wanted them to look fake. Like I wanted to look like high profile, round as possible. And my lips, I wanted them to look, I wanted to look, like Katie Price's little sister. That was my kind of, I didn't care that it looked unnatural. And you know, I look back on pictures now and I'm like, what?
And I guess your face is one of those things. It's about longevity, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like you want to look good for the years to come, not just for those 6 months or the year that trend is happening. And you know, restoring it to a place where it's going to look good. And I think the other thing is, you know, it's perception drift.
Yes.
You know, we'll have a mill in our lips. It'll look great, and then we reset our standard. So this is what we look like now. And then that gives us that kind of endorphins and makes us feel good and we feel really attractive. And then we think it's like a drug. It's like, well, if that made me feel really good, then you know, another meal won't hurt.
Yeah.
It's going to make me feel even better. And then that's where it's a slippery slope. It's just...
And you get blind to it.
You do. Look in the mirror, filler blindness, yeah.
I know because you do it to me, but you don't mind saying no to people, do you?
Absolutely not, no. If it's something I'm not comfortable, not comfortable with, but if it's something like I don't think they need, but it's not an unreasonable ask, then I'm kind of in that grey zone of, okay, it's not unreasonable, I'll do it. But if it's then downright stupid or dangerous, then it's like, no, but I'll always give you my advice. So, you know, if someone says to me, look, I really want another half a mil or another mil, and I say, look, you don't need it, you look great. But it's not an unreasonable ask, yeah. and they're not going to look silly, and they're not. I'm not going to botch them.
Bang on your taste, but if they really want it,
And then fine. Then there's that kind of that little bit of a grey area, but I will always tell them what I think.
What are some of the trends you see at the moment? Like, do people still bring pictures in? Is that a thing? What are top
your
three
picture?
Are you gassing me up?
Can I have Olivia's jawline?
Okay, I will give you that. The amount of people, I feel like I should be on commission from Jaw Type Machine. So you don't know, but I think that everyone does. Selena lipoed jaw tighted my jaw several years ago because I had this chronic double chin. I know, it's hard to believe. And then I posted about it. I was really open about it. I thought, oh, do you know what? Actually, it's kind of funny. And yeah, the amount of people just will send me selfies. I don't know if I should really brag about this. Send me selfies with like the head bandage on, like just have my life changed. Thanks to you.
You know, and I think that's nice because it's a genuine recommendation.
Yes.
And like you've even said, like, I think there's a lot of practitioners, which, to be honest, you can see why they do it. Maybe it is a marketing tactic. Is, you know, DMing a celebrity or someone with a big follower, an influencer, and saying, "Come in and have this treatment, and I'll do it for free. Will you give me a shout out?" type of thing. And what was nice about our relationship is that never happened.
No.
You know, you came on a referral, word of mouth, and we developed our relationship that way. And, you know, you've always paid for your treatments, things like that. So, and if it's ever anything that you've kind of talked about, it's genuine things that you've had, and it's genuinely things that you've asked me about or wanted to have yourself. And I think people kind of...
They get it.
Connected with that?
Like you say, because I've always paid for my treatments. And when I have shared things, I think I'm probably surprised people in itself. And when I have shared things, it's just been things that I think I know my followers would be interested in. I mean, I'm in there a lot more than I post about.
Yeah.
I don't post every time.
Well, exactly. Yeah. I mean,
but like you said, I probably easily get, I'd say, one or two to three messages from a clinic a week offering me whatever I want for free.
I can imagine. And
just to start out the gate that way as a relationship with a aesthetics doctor, just for me, would make me nervous anyway. Because also, when you go into that relationship with your doctor and then something does go wrong or you aren't happy, where does that... It gets pretty awkward, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And
like, you know... I'm sure most people would agree. It's developing that relationship, and I wouldn't hesitate to give you something and say, "Oh, Olivia, will you shout out about this?" And that's because we have a pre-existing relationship and we have that trust. Whereas someone completely new, I wouldn't dream of just sliding into the DMs and be like, "Oh, do you want to come in?" But I just think also it's a bit of an ethical blur as well.
100%.
But I get it. Marketing is.
Well, I think it's so mad that for it's every industry, but also it's like, you know, most people are picking their doctors and surgeons from Instagram now, aren't they? It's like you have to, it's the way you show your work.
Yeah.
Like it's absolutely mental. Why are people coming for injectables younger and younger and younger? Because I didn't have anything until I was about 26, but I feel like now when I talk to 26-year-olds, that's like old.
Yeah, well, again, it's that accessibility thing, isn't it? I mean, legally it's 18 now, so there wasn't a legal requirement before, but now there is. So Botox and fillers can only be injected at 18 plus in the UK now.
Have you seen younger women inquiring at your clinics?
We've had, not many, but the odd, you know, 16, 17-year-old.
But they, again, it's probably affordability as well.
Yeah. And it's just become such a big mass market thing people, and there's a lot of misinformation about starting things young for prevention, but actually you don't need to start when you're 18.
Let's get into this, because I think anti-aging is probably like the listeners are probably like, can you just fucking get on to how we can stay young and stop waffling about God knows what? When should you start Botox or preventative injectables? Is there a starting point?
Well, again, this is the kind of thing that's been pushed by the industry a lot, is this preventative Botox. I don't believe in it personally. Botox is so effective in most people that when you see your first wrinkle, it will zap that wrinkle, right? So why would you 3 to 4 years, 5 years, 7 years, whatever it is before that, do Botox procedures to basically get the same result in the end. And I think we've got to remember Botox is a medicine. So not only are you adding to the expense of that every few months unnecessarily, so the other thing is an immune response. So you will eventually become immune to it. So you'd rather not become immune to it at 30.
As you in know? Your body becomes so used to Botox that it will just be like, no, it's all right. We're just going to keep moving.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, just blocks out.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
So would you say there's not an age, it's a case by case. And if you had a 21-year-old in front of you and she had deep frown lines and she was unhappy, then fine. But if your face is smooth as butter, why would you 100%. Start playing with it?
Yeah. Mm. Because it does what it says in the box. Like, if it's going to zap your wrinkle when you get it, why would you then get it before you get the... Like, it doesn't make sense.
What are your top three tips for... We don't like anti-aging anymore, do we?
No.
Aging... Well, how would you say it in this now? Like,
I like the word restored. Like, keeping...
Restored.
Yeah. Staying fresh, staying restored, staying... Looking well.
Yeah.
I mean, there's lots of things you can do, but it does start inside and out. So, obviously, good diet, good healthy lifestyle. But something like UV. UVs causes up to 80% of our aging.
Why does the sun age us so badly?
Well, it comes down to the sun essentially is damaging our fresh new cells. Okay. So UV exposure is damaging our turnover, damaging the elastin, damaging the collagen, and it's altering the DNA of your skin cells essentially. So you're going to age, or your skin's going to age at a much, much faster rate if you keep exposing it to UV.
So there is no debate, protect your skin.
Absolutely. It's proven. It's, you know, the most backed up thing in anti-aging skincare is SPF. We have the clinical trials, we have the papers, we have the studies, and retinol. They are the two ingredients that have been tested to the ends of the earth.
You've got a 34-year-old. She's never done anything, but she feels unhappy about... She's a bit got a few wrinkles, bit jowly, but she's got her skin texture. What would be like off the top of your head would be starting point for someone like that? Like polynucleotides, Botox, facial.
Skincare first. So for me, it's like a hierarchy. Well, not even a hierarchy. It's a holistic 360 approach.
Okay.
If you are going to invest in injectables, but then you haven't invested in your skincare, which is the number one, you know, skin's your biggest organ. So if you're not improving that, or at least protecting it, then everything else is a little bit of a waste, really.
For years before I was, treated by Selena, I was always having Botox, lip fillers, whatever, under eye filler. And you took your while to talk me into doing some skin-based.
Yeah, not just you, it's everyone.
I just wasn't, do you know what's weird? I just wasn't interested. I was, like you say, I was so motivated on like an instant result. I was like, I don't want to spend my money. I don't want to spend my time. I was still putting my face in the sun all the time. And the minute I started taking my skin seriously, doing, some IPL, doing facials, having the right products, that's when people were like, oh my God, you look amazing. Yeah. Like, the change of my skin made the biggest difference to how I looked and how people looked at me and how they reacted to me when I had no makeup on, was looking after my skin.
Well, your skin projects how healthy you look as well.
Yeah.
So it's your overall picture of health is generally what your skin looks like. And I think, people are really missing a trick. And like you said, we're living in an era where everything's fast.
Yeah.
Fast fashion, fast food, fast coffee, fast aesthetic treatments, and people want that quick fix. They don't want to do a course of six or a course of, and do the products and then stepwise and do some peels and laser. It's all that, I know this is going to be a bang for my money and it's going to give me instant results, but actually overall it's not going to do you any favors. And and protecting your skin, improving your skin quality is overall actually going to improve your injectables experience as well. You'll probably need less product. You'll be happier and better without makeup on. Generally speaking, you're preserving your skin. Your face is full of layers. So fillers, polynucleotides, they're working on, so filling, you're really working on your fat. Yeah. But you've got to, you can't forget that the skin's aging fastest, really.
Yeah. Let's talk about a couple of they're kind of buzzwords at the moment that are everywhere. Ozempic, obviously,
yeah,
like unavoidable. Every third person's on it. What is Ozempic face?
If we talk about natural anatomy, so like when we get older, we naturally are losing facial fat.
Okay.
So we have two layers of fat in our face. It's deep, so that layer just above your bone, and then there's one superficial, which is just under your skin.
Yeah.
Now, both those layers, as we get older, are generally speaking shrinking. And there are certain fat pads that are actually growing as well. Okay. So things like jowls and
perfect. And nose labels. Something to look forward to.
Yeah. So there's a bit of both going on. So the problem with Ozempic face is you have this really quick weight loss.
Mm.
It's, you know, faster than your normal dieting. So rather than it taking 6 to 9 months, it might take 4 to 6 weeks. And you're dropping a significant amount of weight over that period of time. Now, naturally, we have fat everywhere, so including our face. So it's not just your body.
No.
You will lose those good fat pads that are holding up your skin in your face.
Right.
So Ozempic face is basically that accelerated aging process whereby you're shrinking your own natural fat.
So everything just goes...
Yeah, which is happening anyway,
yes,
but you're basically accelerating it. And that's not just limited to Ozempic face. It can happen with yo-yo dieters,
yeah,
with people who excessively exercise, run, that kind of thing.
So it's not the drug itself. It's the weight loss that's caused by the drug and how your face shows it.
Exactly, because we have fat everywhere.
And that's why people like, you know, that it's out there documented, like Sharon Osbourne, Scott Disick, and you see them for the first time in like 6 weeks and you're like, like, it's quite shocking because their face has gone... Like in, and that essentially is what Ozempic face is.
I mean, it's not like Ozempic's targeting just your face.
But you lose it everywhere, but you see it in the face, and that's what.
So the face, just like the rest of our body, will also shrink its fat pads when you lose weight.
Lemon bottle.
Mm.
I can't open TikTok without seeing this fucking bastard thing.
Do you want some?
No, I think no, because you don't stock it or use it, which makes me know I don't need it. Why don't you stock it or use it?
I guess as a medic, I tend to prescribe a lot of my, anything that I tend to use that's a drug, I'll prescribe to you or to my patients. And it's one of those things that one doesn't need a prescription, clearly.
So you don't need a prescription to purchase?
No.
Anyone can buy it.
What's in it, yeah. I mean, yeah, you can literally go online.
It's marketed as a fat...
It's on Amazon, I think.
It's marketed as a fat loss...
Yeah, fat dissolver.
Fat dissolver.
Yeah.
And is it doing that?
Well, who knows?
I know.
You know, that's the problem, is it's not tested. We don't know. We haven't had any clinical trials. We, at one point, they couldn't even tell us what was in the product. It's not CE marked, which is the minimum of a product in the UK market should be. So there's
so it
no
could
safety.
Literally be sugar and water, or it could be something quite dangerous.
Exactly.
And why is it taken over, do you think? Why is it? But interesting, it's taken over in the non-medical market.
Yeah.
And is that because you can? It's easily attainable.
And, you know, why are you going to pay me $1,000+ for fat dissolving when you can pay your, I don't know,
eyebrow girl, £200.
Nail girl.
So basically, it's just, we don't really know what it is. And
we don't
know
what it is. It's not safety tested.
Right.
It's not, and also, we actually don't know if it actually works.
No.
And I think people see anecdotal results, but I don't really.
Well, I was wondering as well, is there an argument? Because I was trying to do some research about this for the documentary, and I was wondering, is there an argument to a placebo effect? Because I watched this girl, and she goes, well, I had all the lemon bottle injections done in my stomach. I had 20 injections. I was like, Jesus Christ. And she's like, and so now, because I've spent the money, I'm going to be on a diet and I'm being in the gym every day. So you're going to lose weight then. So is it? Are you losing weight from the injection or are you losing weight because you've just, your mind is...
Yeah.
So it's a difficult one, isn't it?
I mean, I do a lot of jaw tights and I'd say a lot of the girls I've treated have had things like that before.
Fat dissolving injection. Someone gave me a fat dissolving injection once in my neck and I'm like a pelican for 2 days. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like, why are you going to do that 7 times?
Why
don't you just do it once?
Well, I just need to get lipo. There's a big thing, like, you know, magazines and onlines love to make out at the moment, like everyone's dissolving all their filler.
It's clickbait.
Like, are you seeing higher requests for dissolving than previous years? I'll tell you what gets my fucking dick, and this is what I want to say online, but I don't, but now I'm about to. I think it's misinformation from some celebrities and influencers who have had terrible filler, like myself, go and get it dissolved, then someone like Celine or whoever refills beautifully, but then they go onto their platform and go, I'm natural now, I've got no filler. And then I think that's when the, you know, your online mags go, all the celebrities are dissolving their filler, actually, like Kylie Jenner, whatever, they've dissolved, but they've refilled properly. And then I think that they're kind of made, oh, filler's going, no one's having filler. I'm like, they're fucking having it. They're just having it. They're just telling you that it's gone, but it's there.
There's and there's so many different angles, isn't there? Because you get those who deny it, which, and then I think that's a bit dangerous because people assume that, you know, you're born that way when you really weren't. And and it's that standard of beauty, isn't it, for young girls who think that that's how I should look. Mm. Oh my God, she looks like that and she's got nothing in her face. So why am I, you know, ugly? So I think that becomes a bit dangerous. And then there's the other side of the coin where people have had fillers for years and it's looked great. And then eventually they've just had too much and they need to just kind of start back again.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes gets a bit spun for clickbait, you know, like, oh, I've had all my filler dissolved. It was just looking awful. And here's this picture of me. Look, do I look shit? But actually, for the last few years, you haven't looked shit and you look fine and you've never complained.
Yeah.
But it's their lack of understanding of what the actual, you know, what's happening to that product, or what's happening if you keep filling. And at the end of the day, they requested it at some point in time.
Yeah,
so
of course.
It's not like it was a wrong thing to do then. So there's that side. And then there's a lot of clickbait from your drags of newspapers.
Yeah, they do love it. Do you know, it's a hard one, isn't it? And obviously I was walk this line being in my industry and with aesthetics, especially doing the documentaries and stuff. And it's like, I try and be an open book, but I don't think we ever want to get to a state, and I'm sure you agree, like no one owes us their medical history. Like no one owes us that they've had a cosmetic procedure. I think when you get into that territory, it's like we all should be able to share or not. But like you say, when you're doing a 360 lipo, then selling a workout DVD, to me, there's like a moral dilemma there.
Yeah,
like, 100%. Or, you know, trying to say a lip balm gave you lip. That's where, like, that's when it starts to piss me off. Because also, I understand to a degree why actresses, you know, other people in the media never admit anything. Because the problem being a woman in this industry, the minute you admit something like that, that's all anyone wants to talk about. I mean, I do interviews like on a weekly basis, and it will almost, every interview will go, can you ask about your breast augmentation? I'm like, what, the one I did in 2018? Yeah, I mean, everything you could possibly know about these tits is out there. The serial number of the implants is probably out there somewhere. Like, you know that, and you end up, that becomes the most interesting thing about you. And I understand why, especially women that, you know, do different things in this industry, don't want their narrative to be about...
Which is fair, really.
Which is fair.
And I think that's the problem, isn't it? Is collectively, as a society, we are all guilty of causing these kind of problems because, you know, some of us are genuinely interested. So it's a bit like, oh, yeah, what have you done? You know, and because we're interested for ourselves as well. And others are just bitchy. And then you've got some who are just downright rude. Yeah. And then, which is fine. So either don't say anything and live your life, but then don't deny it. I think that, I think it's the denial that's the hardest thing, because, you know, ultimately you're setting a poor
example.
Yeah, and it's those beauty standards, a bit like the Kardashian effect. You know, I hate talking about them all the time, but essentially that is what they've done. They've created this level of beauty standards that is really unachievable without millions of dollars.
Yes.
And they've had so much work done. You only have to look at their roles.
I'd actually just pay for the full breakdown.
And it's fine. They
the
look
list.
Great, whatever, you know. And it, yeah, let's be honest. But it would be nice to be like, this is true.
What we did, you know.
But, you know, they're not going to.
So when Kylie admitted she had her lips done, like it was some great big revelation.
Yeah,
we're like,
no shit, Sherlock.
Thank you so much for sharing. We want to know the other stuff. We're going to play the box of wrong.
Yeah.
I'll ask the sign. I'll read some stuff. I'm guessing my team have conveniently made these kind of beauty and aesthetics related. The statement I'll read and we'll decide if it's wrong, right, or so wrong that it's right.
Right.
Before we do it, Selena, do you have a so wrong it's right for me?
Well, mine's not aesthetic related, but...
I'm excited.
It's probably one that you'll probably agree with when you get there. So I said... Putting your husband and kids in economy whilst you sit in business on a long haul flight.
just write. Have you done that?
I've done it once.
Oh my! And did he go along with it? Someone's got to stick with it. He wasn't too young to sit on their
own. Exactly. He wasn't happy, but and it was only because I happened to get there was only one upgrade basically, and I was like, oh, fuck off, I'm going.
Yeah. See ya. Who don't know you.
I think. Look, not all women, but the dynamic in my relationship is I'm the one who packs the freaking suitcases. I'm the one who organises everything. I'm a control freak, so I don't let him do anything in terms of booking because I know where I want to stay and I know what I want to do.
God, we're literally
so
the same.
He's done no pre-effort.
He's just turned
whatsoever,
up,
right? Yeah, he's just turned up just about after going to the toilet 50 times before we have to leave for So he's already effed me off, and unfortunately, I have to take him on holiday as well.
Yeah, you've got the choice. Part of the deal.
So, and the kids, I mean, kids are so resilient. Like, who's spending that kind of money on a business flight for them? Sorry. I mean, I do. Don't get me wrong. I have done. I'm not saying I don't. But if I had the option, I wouldn't. And they're resilient. They can do 10-hour shifts in a crappy little seat on their iPad. It's fine. And men, they just fall asleep at the drop of the hat.
Like, that's true,
it doesn't care, really. I mean, I'm sure he'd love the luxury of it. But and then even when you're on holiday, it's us doing most of it, you know, like.
So that's a right for me. Oh, they're not all aesthetics. Your partner using your expensive skincare products.
I mean, he does, so I can't. I don't really pay full whack for it, so it doesn't really apply to me.
You're getting a trade. Does he look after his skin?
He does now. He's a real, like, I'm the opposite of him. He is a real sun worshipper and he loves a tan. And that has really caught up with him now that he's nearing 40. Yeah.
See you guys.
So he's all like, oh, what can you do for this wrinkle? And he does start
you're
using
like,
master.
You're cooked. Yeah, right? You've done it.
Too late.
I wish Brad's skin's looking a bit knackered. I need to bring him back into you again. Yeah. Again, like he's always in the sun playing football, hard ever wears SPF. And then I do catch him sometimes. He'll go to me, what can I wash my face with? But I'm like, he asked me that once every like 3 weeks. And I'm like,
when
was the last time
you
washed your face? I'm like, I wash it every day with the soap. I'm like, And then he'll pour the ZO like this. Like, I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. That was half the tube. I feel like it's right because we want our partners to be glowing, really. Yeah. We don't want them looking like
it's
dusty.
Fine. You can afford it.
Opening a card with the cash inside it and pretending you haven't seen the money and focus on the heartfelt message.
Whoops.
Oh, my God, it's so sweet. I mean, it's so wrong that it's right. Because you have to pretend you're not like...
Listen, I counted just, in my head already. Like,
Never cleaning your makeup brushes.
Oh, no, but I'm a bit shit like that as well.
Are you?
Oh, yeah, I know, sorry.
My God.
But to be fair, I know, that's so bad. Oh, God.
The other day, turned around to me and said she'd had this set of makeup brushes for like 2 years and she'd never washed them.
Oh, no, that's excessive. I was like... I mean, a few months, maybe.
Is that you? But it's when you do your makeup with the clean brushes, it's so nice.
It is nice.
Crocs?
No, please.
I really don't like them.
For the kids and to go swimming in, and I would not wear them.
I like, I'm up for an ugly shoe, but an ugly Chanel slider. Not like, I'm 100%. Like, I own some fucking ugly shoes, but at least I'm flexing when I wear them.
No, it's fashion faux pas.
It's the rubberness of them. I just can't get on board with
the surgical
holes.
Shoes. We used to wear them in theatre.
Of course.
Like, why
That's
would I want to wear that out?
In.
It's just weird. No.
Popping spots.
Oh, I love that. I do it to my husband all the time.
Yeah, I'm a bit...
If I see one, you can't get away with it. You're like... I do it in clinics sometimes and like, they've got a big blackhead here.
Oh.
And I'm like, can I just going to feel a pinch? They're like, did you just extract my blackhead? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. I can't bear someone, which means people can't help it, with an unpop spot. Like, and I would never leave the house. If I see something, I'm straight away doing surgery on it, whether it's the right thing to do or not. But I can't cope seeing it come out.
Really?
So with Brad's up, Brad's had a really bad spot before on his shoulder.
Oh, I love that.
Screaming in the bathroom. Like, oh, I kept going towards it. I'm like, oh, no, I can't. He was like, you're so mean. I was like, I don't know. It makes my stomach go funny.
Oh, I just find it so satisfying. It's like therapeutic.
Playing the Hermes game.
I mean, I think we're both as bad as each other with that.
I'm a slave to the game. Yeah. I'm a slave to the game, but having said that, I will go on record and say I've never bought anything I don't like or that I haven't enjoyed. Have you?
I've had borderline things. Have you? I think the pressure of it, I'm like, oh, I just thought it.
A bag, you mean, when you look at it and you're like,
Yeah, definitely. There's one I scored in Paris and I was like, I took it because I was in Paris and they gave me it.
But actually, I barely use it
and it's a Birkin. I should love it, but I don't reach for it.
There's all, you know, there's so many myths about all the different things to buy that help you towards a bag and whatever.
Yeah.
And I do have, my sister rides.
Yeah.
Apparently the equestrian. Yeah.
They love that. Dog stuff.
Dog stuff, yeah. Like, so anything equestrian home that, like, it's really
anything
nice.
That doesn't sell, basically.
Everything doesn't sell. So I'm buying her, like, Hermes horse pads for Christmas. She's like, the big ones, they go onto their saddle.
Wow.
Because then she's like, oh my God. I'm like, yeah, it's literally a bag, babe.
It's for me. It's not really for me.
Oh, I love this, Al. It's so much fun.
It's been so much fun. It's been so good.
I hope everyone's answered lots of questions, the listeners, because I know they were coming in thick and fast. Everyone, Dr. Selena.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.